didn't make up that number about candy, by the way. That's real. Grace and peace to you from God, our Father, and our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, as we think about this Easter story, it's pretty nuts, really, isn't it? I mean, this is such a wild roller coaster of a story. And if you've been with us throughout this Holy Week, you know exactly what I mean, the ups and downs. I mean, Thursday, just a few days ago, we talked about the Last Supper when Jesus was betrayed and his disciples deserted him. He's arrested and they all flee into the night. And then Friday, the whole city of Jerusalem is in an uproar on the verge of erupting into this full-blown riot, and everybody is escalated and Jesus is publicly tortured and killed. And the sky itself, we're told, goes dark, not like clouds dark, but like midnight dark in the middle of the afternoon. And then Saturday, of course, all is quiet because all hope seems gone. For those who loved and hoped in Jesus, they found themselves hiding on Saturday in fear and in the midst of the deepest sadness they'd ever known. But in the morning, on this morning, they go to the tomb and they look inside and the grave is empty. His body is gone. The impossible seems to have happened. And then I love this Easter story because as they see this tomb empty, it's like blink, like out of nowhere, like magic, these two men in dazzling clothes appear. I would love to know what dazzling clothes meant in those times, if it was like sequins or shiny, or if they had those cool light-up shoes like kids wear. We don't know. But they show up in dazzling clothes, which is to say this is a big deal. And they say, remember, he told you all of this would happen, that he is alive. And then I love this part. They remember Jesus' words. They remember what he said. And they believed. They believed and they look around the tomb. They realize the grave is empty because he is alive. And so they run back to tell everyone, the 11 and all those who had been gathered. And let's just pause for a moment and picture this scene. This is happening at sunrise. There's this group of women running at sunrise from the cemetery with these crazy smiles on their faces. This is a roller coaster. This is not your normal story. And they tell everyone, the 11 and those gathered there. But what did all the others think? This is fascinating. It says they thought it was an idle tale. They didn't believe. Except for Peter. Peter, good old Peter, he gets up and he runs to the tomb and he looks in and finds it empty. And he dares to hope. And he's amazed. But you know, some of the others believed so little that a couple of them even said, I don't buy it. And they took off, they left town and started walking down the road to Emmaus. But then Jesus appears to them on the way. And later that night, they're all gathered together again, hanging out together. And some with stories about seeing Jesus alive and others still saying, I don't believe it. And then right in the midst of them, Jesus appears out of nowhere. It seems there's a lot of that going around on Easter Day. And he talks to them. And they touch his hands and his side, and he eats with them to show this is no hallucination, this is no ghost, this is real, this is impossible, and yet it's true. He is alive, he is with them, and the grave is empty. So this is a story that is not just some story to look at and say, wow, that was a neat thing then, but this is a story that still and always is full of such meaning for the world, right? But before we try and remember what it means for us today, let's just consider and remember what it meant for them, for those first followers of Jesus. In his death, all of their greatest fears had come true. All that they had hoped was gone. This idea of new life gone. This gospel that Jesus proclaimed of forgiveness and love and radical inclusivity for all those who had been told for so long that you're a sinner, you're outside God's love. You can't be a person of faith unless you change dramatically and become like us. For all those who had found hope when Jesus spent time with them, ate with them, taught them, gone. Hope for freedom from oppression and injustice, gone. The idea that God might just show up in this world and be more powerful than the hate-driven, self-seeking powers of this world, maybe even death itself. All of that hope died on the cross on Friday. So Saturday night, this is where they lived. This is where we found them. Their worst fears having come true. But this morning, the grave is empty. He is alive. The impossible has happened, which means then that all of those other seemingly impossible dreams that Jesus kept speaking about must be possible too. Maybe what Jesus said is actually true. Maybe love is greater than fear. Maybe forgiveness is greater than vengeance. Maybe bridges are better than barriers. Maybe there really is a place at God's table even for someone like me. So that's some of what it must have meant to them. But what about for us today? Well, maybe you came here this morning carrying the weight of broken relationships, things that have been fractured in your life. Maybe you feel like it's all beyond repair, or even your heart might be beyond repair. But the grave is empty. God has done the impossible, and that means that new life and reconciliation and redemption are possible for us too. Maybe you came here today and you're worried about a job, maybe because you lost one recently, or maybe you have one, but it's just wearing you down and you don't know if you can keep going. But the empty grave reminds us that God is always with us through everything, and God can make the impossible possible, so there is hope. Or maybe you've had a year. Maybe you've lost someone that you loved dearly this last year, and it has just weighed you down. And the weight of that absence has been so heavy on your back, but the grave is empty. Today we remember this story that death is defeated, even though we still feel its effects today. We have assurance that resurrection life, that eternal life, is actually the end of the story, and we will meet again. The grave is empty. Maybe you're here today because someone else wanted you to come. Maybe this is your once or twice a year you come to church. Not because you woke up and said, "Easter, woohoo, I better get there," but because your mom or your grandma asked you. Maybe, maybe not. But this is good news, not just for those who are here every week, but this is good news for all of us, for all people. So whether this is your first time here for a long time, or whether this is the place that you come every single weekend, the grave is empty and God is on the move. Maybe you found yourself at some point in life saying, there has to be more to this life. Feeling like something is missing, like there must be some point to it all, like your life should have some meaning or destiny that you're moving toward, but you can't quite find it. Well, friends, the grave is empty. Jesus is alive and on the move and inviting us into this life that has more meaning and more purpose and more adventure than we can ever possibly imagine. So today, the grave being empty is this invitation for us to join in. To join in this work that God is doing in the world, and I guarantee that God has a place and a purpose for you in this mission that God is on in our world. God is speaking meaning and purpose into people's lives here every week, and God has done amazing things in Good Shepherd, both in here in the lives of people and out in the world beyond through what Good Shepherd does, and we are blessed to be a part of God's mission here in this place, in St. Louis, in this part of the world. And I tell you what, it's such an incredible blessing to be able to serve here at Good Shepherd as a pastor. Why? In part because this place is a place that believes in God's ability to make the impossible a possibility. This crazy faith is woven into the DNA of this community. I mean, if you look back through the history, in the 80s, there were two churches that had different denominational affiliations, Mount Tabor and St. Luke's, and they felt like God was calling them to come together and be something different, something new. And the experts said that it was impossible, that can't happen. You can't merge two churches that way. It'll fall apart. It could never work. But guess what? God said, I'm calling you toward this, and they stepped out in faith and said yes, and here we are today as Good Shepherd. A number of years ago, this thing called Feed My Starving Children started here, and every year since, it's grown and grown a bit. And many years ago, along this journey, people said that we had hit our limit, that we were out of space, there wasn't enough money, there weren't enough resources, not enough people. It's impossible to grow this ministry any bigger and feed any more kids, but God kept saying it is possible. And some people might say we work until some are fed, but God's vision for this is so big that God says, no, not until some are fed, but until all are fed. I love that mission statement of feed my starving children, because the grave is empty. Anything is possible. The world says it's impossible to talk about difficult topics with people who hold different views than you without becoming divided and angry and bitter. The message out there is that we're supposed to tribe up, to gather people that think like us, believe like us, hold the same perspective or opinions as us. Tribe up, draw lines, and count the others as enemies or opposites. But guess what? The grave is empty. Jesus died and rose for all, we're told in 2 Corinthians. And so here at Good Shepherd, we believe that, and so we're not afraid to love and respect one another, even when we have different thoughts and opinions. We're not afraid to ask the tough questions and talk about the hard things. The world says it's impossible, but we don't accept the narrative of impossibility because we say all are welcome at this table, and we want to mean all. So we have hard conversations, whether it's about race or justice or sexual orientation or current events in the world. And it's such a gift for me as pastor to be able to have these conversations with my sisters and brothers in Christ. So often I get the privilege of sitting across the table that have totally different experiences from me and different thoughts and things we disagree about, but we have conversation in love and respect, and it is a beautiful thing. And every time I get the opportunity to do this and I'm allowed into this sacred space, I find that I grow. I grow in my understanding. I grow in my relationship and respect for the person across the table from me. And it's not always comfortable and it's never easy, but it's always worth it because the grave is empty. And that's good news, not just for me, not just for you, but for all of the world, for all of humankind. And the power of the resurrection to unite us and draw us together into God's mission of love is so much greater than anything that could ever seek to divide us. So whatever impossible challenge lies in front of you today, remember this, the grave is empty. For God, nothing is impossible. And when we walk with Jesus every single day, when his heart becomes our heart, that same power that did the impossible is given to us as Jesus followers to carry on that mission. Whatever impossible challenges seem to lie ahead of us together here at Good Shepherd, remember this, the grave is empty. God has already overcome the most impossible task of all, defeating death itself. What is there that God cannot do? If we continue to follow Christ and earnestly seek God's direction in everything we do, I cannot wait to see the impossible things that God makes possible here in the years to come. Amen.